All Saints Day, I'd like to start out just thinking a little bit about what comes to mind when I talk about or when somebody talks about saints. What do you think of when you think of saints? Do you think of the people in the stained glass windows in the churches of old? Do you think of people whom you loved and have passed? Do you think of those persons who are called saints, such as Saint Thomas, Saint Andrew, Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, Saint Teresa? Mother Teresa is somebody you think of. You know, I don't think she's been actually canoned as a saint yet, but she is in your book. But perhaps that puts the best highlight on what we tend to think of when we think of saints. We tend to think of people like Mother Teresa, who are just glorious examples, wondrous persons, who've gone above and beyond and shown the light of Christ in this world in ways that we can't even imagine or fathom. The fact that she would have dedicated her life to caring for the dead and dying on the streets of Calcutta, that she would have built a whole organization of nuns and buildings and ways of caring for those people. Just amazing. I think that it is probably true for most of us that the first thing that comes to mind when we think of saints is persons who are more holy than us, more capable than us, more glorious than us, and often people who are dead, quite frankly. People who are from other eras and other times. And we think, oh, we could not possibly be like that. They are such a blinding light of faith that we almost shield our eyes and think, ooh, it almost hurts to look at them and in light of our own life and think, well, we're just ordinary Christians. We aren't really saints or anything, and maybe that's okay. But when Paul talks about saints in Scripture, when the Scripture talks about saints, it's not talking about glorious individuals who did things above and beyond for Christ. When Paul or other writers in the New Testament talk about saints, they aren't even normally ever talking about single individuals. Saints is nearly always plural. And I'm sure that grammatically that sentence just didn't work at all. But you get my point. When the Scripture talks about saints, it's not in the singular, it's in the plural. We are the saints of God. To all the saints that are in Philippi, the saints that are in Ephesus, it's plural. There's this sense that it's not as individuals we are called to shine for God and called to live up to the glorious things of Christ, but it is as a community of faith, as the people of God. We are called to be a holy people. And actually, that's what saint really means. Holy. Holy people. People of God. Now, what does it mean to be holy? I think we'd immediately go back to people like Mother Teresa and Jesus Christ, and we think of people who holiness so much just ellipses ours that we think, this is just impossible. I'm not holy. I'm not a saint. Don't even talk to me about that. Our excuse is, we're just normal Christian folk. You know, we aren't up to all of that saintly stuff. It's almost as though we think it's beyond us. And yet, when Scripture talks about saints, it does definitely talk about all of us. And it talks about all of us as God's holy people. Now, holy, for all of the things that we attach to it, what holy means is to be set apart. Now, I remember when I was talking about a study that had come out on Christian youth. They wanted to see if Christian youth, kids who went to church and knew their Bible, were different than kids who didn't go to church and didn't know their Bible. And the idea was that as people called to be holy in God, that the fact that we are God's people ought to make us different. That there's something different about us. So they did this study based on, they asked the kids how much scripture they knew and how often they went to Sunday school. And then they asked them things, you know, like in what situations they would lie and cheat. Now, the study was very disappointing because it found no discernible difference between the kids that went to church and knew their Bible and the kids that didn't. It was very, very depressing. And so I remember I was at work talking about this, you know, briefly with my boss. I was an office manager at the time. I said, you know, the study came out and the kids aren't any different. He said, isn't that great? He didn't know the rest of the study, but just the fact that kids that went to church weren't different from kids that didn't, he thought was a good thing, because when he thought about being set apart and being made different, his experience with Christians had been negative, that they were kind of snooty and haughty and thought they were better than everybody else and thought that they were extra special because they were set apart, meaning that you, because you weren't set apart, weren't as good. And he thought it was a really good thing that the youth didn't have that attitude. Well, if that had been what the study would have been about, I would have been thrilled, because that's not what we're called to be set apart as. We're not called to be set apart as though we're better than other people. We're called to be set apart to be given special, not special privileges, but special responsibility to share all of this wonderful news about Jesus Christ. But it does call us to be different. It ought to mean something about how we act and how we are. Because when Paul talks about saints and us being the saints of God, he talks us about us being holy and without fault before God's eyes. Holy, set apart, made different, made special, for special responsibility, and without fault before God's eyes. The thing about the without fault, though, the wonderful thing about that is that we are not called to be without fault in and of ourselves. Like that we can never do anything wrong, we can never have done anything wrong, or we're crossed off the list of possibilities. But as you read on, you find that what Paul is talking about here is the fact that because of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness that is in Christ, we can be without fault before God and made holy. We can continue to grow in faith. It is so easy to just say that, to stick to our excuse and say, but we are just normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill Christians. But the people that Paul was writing to in Ephesus, the people that Paul was writing to in Corinth, as we're finding out again and again, the people that Paul was writing to in Philippi, the people that are addressed in the New Testament, are just normal people too. And yet, because of Christ, and because of the wonderful riches and gifts in God, we can be more than we ever dreamed. And it seems to me that if we cross ourselves off the possibility of being saints and say, well, you know, we're just not up to that kind of standard. We're just not up to that. We're just ordinary Christians. We, as the people of God, just aren't prepared for that title of saint, holy people, blameless and forgiven before God. I think we're selling ourselves short. And even more so, I think we're selling God short. I think we're selling the Holy Spirit short. I think we're selling our lives short. Because what God has to offer us is so much more than we could ever imagine. And it's not so much that we have got to somehow muster up more faith in our lives and do more for God and somehow become more holy in and of ourselves. All of the words here in this scripture are about what God has done for us and His unchanging plan. He is so rich in kindness that He has purchased our freedom. He has forgiven our sins. He has showered us with kindness, along with all wisdom and understanding. It's not that we have to somehow be more or do more or become more. It's really just about being willing to receive more. To not say, well, I can only take this much, God, so don't send any more my way. But say, wow, God is willing to shower us with all wisdom and understanding. Is that not amazing? I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot more wisdom and understanding in my life. Tons more. And to think that it is available to me and that it is God's pleasure to give it to us. Even more so, that we are not called to somehow do this as individuals, but we are called to do this as the community of God. We have each other. That's another blessing that God has given us. In fact, that idea of, you know, caring about and loving all of the saints everywhere is that sense that we are not just our own little clique, and that is enough. That is so limiting. If we think that Christianity is about us, personally, or even just about our little church here, our little group, but Christianity is around the world. Think of all of the brothers and sisters we have in every nation on this planet, let alone all the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have up in heaven praying for us. We have truly been blessed by the fact that we are called to be a community of faith, to depend on one another, to lean on one another, and to pray for one another. What a powerful image it is to me to think of the body of Christ reaching all around the world. And as we celebrate All Saints Day, we're really thinking about not just those who have gone on, but all that are still here and all around the world. We have union with them in Christ. And that is something that we're going to celebrate as we celebrate communion. There is so much more I want to say about this text here in the scriptures, and would just really encourage you to ponder through them and to think about, including yourself, including this church, on the list of the saints. The people called of God, the people who have chosen Christ, oh no, more appropriately, who have been chosen in Christ, who have been blessed with riches beyond imagination, and that you would pray for yourself, for this church, and for the Christians around the world to open ourselves up to all of those riches that we might be flooded with light. That's a wonderful image considering our children's sermon today. That we might be flooded with the light of God so that we can understand this wonderful future that God has promised us. And that we can realize what a rich and glorious inheritance we have been given as God's people. And this inheritance is so rich and so glorious that God is not even going to wait for us to all get to heaven to enjoy it. But as you also notice in the text, we have been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a payment up front on this rich blessing. And that through the magnificent power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to receive today all that kindness, all that wisdom, all that understanding, forgiveness that is available to us in Christ. Just think what our lives would be like if we would let all that in. How much more forgiveness there would be for us. If we have been forgiven of everything and stand blameless before God, Why do we carry around all this baggage? And why do we carry all this baggage around about other people? Just think of the love that we miss out on and the power available to us in the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the understanding, and the very knowledge of God. It is my prayer, as it was Paul's prayer, that God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would give to you spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might grow in the knowledge of God, so that I might grow in the knowledge of God, and so that we might find ourselves not shrinking from being called saints, but being excited that God would be willing to so richly bless our lives and so fill us with these things that we too can stand before God like Mother Teresa, having been light in this world.